Well, it is the August family service, and August is often a time for holidays, isn't it? Anybody planning on going on holiday this summer in August? Dylan, where are you going? You're going to France. What are you doing, Henry? You're going to France as well with Dylan. That's great. And Benji and me, I'm going as well. Oh, that's good. Anybody else going to France? Oh, quite a few of us. All right, we'll have fun. Anybody else going on holiday? Ezra?
Going to Cyprus.
Oh, that's great. That'd be lovely. That's in the Mediterranean. We're going to see the Mediterranean Sea later today. That's where Cyprus is. And I don't know if the Cyprus is on the map that we're going to look at. It might be. Ben? And you've just been to Belgium and the Netherlands. Yeah, that's right. I'll talk to you in a minute about that, actually. Is anybody going on a boat? Yep. Those of us that are going to France, we're going to be going on a boat, aren't we? Across the sea. On a ferry. A ferry boat. That's right. Well, we're going to be thinking the story about a man who went on holiday, sort of, on a boat. And I've asked Ben if he'll come and read that story to us now. Ben, if you'd like to come up. But Ben, I just want to ask you first, because you mentioned that you've just been away.
Yeah.
So where did you go?
To the Netherlands.
You went to the Netherlands. How did you come to go to the Netherlands?
I went by the ferry to France and then went by coach through Belgium to the Netherlands.
Oh, right. So you went on a boat.
Yeah.
But across to France and then a coach.
Yeah.
And who did you go with?
I went with Scouts.
With Scouts, Horsham Scouts?
Yeah.
And what did you do in Netherlands?
We visited Amsterdam.
Yeah.
We went to Efteling.
Right. Talking to the microphone.
We did water sports.
Yeah.
We rode bicycles around.
Right.
Netherlands
is quite flat,
yeah,
isn't it? It's good for bicycling, yeah, cycling.
We also explored quite a lot of the place.
Yeah.
We were in Rotterdam at the time.
Right.
So we had lots of fun.
Rotterdam is a big port, isn't it? Lots of ships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a great time. It's good that you're back. And you're going to read the Bible for us.
Yeah.
And you're going to read Jonah chapter 1. Thank you, Ben.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent such a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose, that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so then we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you, Lord. Have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord and offered him a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights.
Great. Thank you, Ben. I didn't ask Ben to read until he arrived this morning, so he did really well there to do that without any practice. Thank you. So we have there the story of a man called Jonah. I've called him Jonah the disobedient prophet. Now, what's a prophet? Well, a prophet in the Bible was someone that God gave a very special message to, and he told the prophet what the message was, and the prophet had to go and tell the message to whatever people God told him to tell it to. And in this case, Jonah was given a message to go to a foreign city, a city in another country called Nineveh. It was a big city, but it was also a very, very wicked city. And God said, I want you to go to this big city, Nineveh, and I want you to tell them that because they've been so bad, so wicked, that I'm going to destroy them and their city. Now, that was quite a scary thing to do, wasn't it? To go to a foreign city and give them such a devastating message. And you can imagine that Jonah might have thought, oh, they might beat me up if I tell them that story, tell them that message. But, you know, it wasn't that that stopped Jonah from going. The reason why Jonah decided not to go and not to obey God, because of this. He thought, if I tell the people that God says, because they've been wicked, they're going to be destroyed, they get all scared, and then they will say sorry to God, and because God is a loving God, he will forgive them. And Jonah didn't want them to be forgiven because they'd been so bad and so wicked and so horrible. He thought, no, they deserve to be punished. I don't want them to be forgiven by God. And so Jonah decided not to do what God said, but to run away and go off in the opposite direction. And this is a true story, and this is where it happened. This is a map of the world. You can see America and Africa and all those big places. If you see England, just above the red square there, red rectangle, I should say, Lenny, because I know you love your rectangles. But if we home in on that rectangle, this is the Mediterranean Sea that we talked about. And I think, now where's Cyprus? Is Cyprus on there? I think, is that Cyprus? What's that? No, it's Crete. Which one's Cyprus, that one? That's Cyprus. So that's where you're going on holiday, Ezra and Alana, I expect. Now, Jonah lived here in the land of Israel, and God had told him to go to a place called Nineveh, which was 550 miles away. Taking quite a long time. He probably had a donkey, would have had a donkey. It might take him quite a few days, weeks maybe, to get to Nineveh. But he didn't go, did he? He decided, no, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. So he went down to the seaside to a place called Joppa, and there was a ship there that was going to Spain. This is Spain, this is France, this is Spain. And he decided to get on this ship, cross the Mediterranean Sea, and go to a place called Tarshish in southern Spain. That was very naughty of him, wasn't it, to disobey God and not do what God said. He ran, instead of going east to Nineveh, he went west to Tarshish, a long, long way away, got as far away as he could. Well, he got on the ship and he was probably feeling a bit guilty, probably feeling, I shouldn't have really run away from God. I should really have done what God said. And he went down to the lower deck. I don't know if they had cabins on the ship, but he went to somewhere where he could sleep. Perhaps he was just trying to shut his eyes and his ears and his thoughts away from what he'd done wrong. And he just fell asleep, trying to forget it all and just think that's the end of it. So he fell asleep on the boat. But, you know, God hadn't finished with Jonah, and God decided he was going to do something to wake Joseph up, Jonah up a bit. God sent a great big storm, and it was a terrible storm. Now, these sailors on the ship, they were used to going up to Spain and back. They'd done it many, many times. They were used to storms, but this was a terrible storm. It really was bad. It was so bad that the sails started tearing and the mast started creaking and the water started coming in the boat, and they were really scared. They were really scared. Now, they didn't believe in the true God that Jonah believed in. They had their own made-up gods. Maybe they worshipped, we don't know what they worshipped, maybe it was the sun or the moon. Maybe they made statues and worshipped them out of wood or stone. We don't know, but they cried out to their made up gods and said, please rescue us, please take the storm away, help us. But nothing happened. Couldn't, of course, because made up gods can't do anything, can they? So the storm just got worse and worse, And the boat was filling up with water, and they thought, oh no, we're going to sink. So they had cargo on board, things that they were going to be taking to Spain. We don't know what it was. It may have been timber. It might have been gold. It might have been food or drink. We don't know what it was, but they got these big crates of cargo and started throwing them overboard to make the ship a bit lighter to try and stop it sinking. And the storm just got worse and worse. Well, the captain, he was wandering around the boat, and he found Jonah down sleeping downstairs. He shook him awake and he said, Jonah, what are you doing? How can you sleep through this terrible storm? Can't you call out to your God? I don't know who your God is, but can't you call out to him? Perhaps he can do something. He brought Jonah up on deck. And when they got up to the deck, the other sailors had been having a discussion about what was going on. And they said, somebody on this boat must have done something really terrible. That's why the gods are sending this storm to us. We need to find out who has done this terrible, terrible thing that made the gods so angry. And they thought, how can we find out? And they looked around and they were thinking, could it be you? Could it be you? Maybe it's you. Someone has done something really naughty. I wonder who it is. And they thought, now how can we find out who it is? Now, it's a bit like Tippit. You know, you have to try and find out who'd got the coin. Well, they didn't play Tippit. They did something called casting lots. Now, we don't know exactly what they did, but it was probably something like what we're going to do now. I need a few volunteers to come and do casting lots. Let's have you out the front if you'd like to do casting lots.
How many are we?
Okay, let's have the stones back. So, they cast lots like that, and the lot fell upon, who do you think? Jonah. Now, how did that happen? Because that was totally random that Freddie got the red stone, wasn't it? You see, God was in control. God was in control. He sent the storm. God was in control, and he made it so that Jonah would pick out the odd-coloured stone. The lot fell upon Jonah. And the sailor said, oh, so it's you. You're the one that's done something naughty. And they said, well, what have you done? What is it that's made the gods so angry? Why? And they asked him all sorts of questions. We had them in verse 8 that Ben read. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you? What have you done? They asked him all these questions. I'm trying to... Yeah. And Jonah said, yeah, I'm afraid it was me. I've done something really bad. God told me to go to this city, Nineveh, and give them this message. And I didn't want to go, and I ran away from him. And that's why I'm on this boat, because I've run away from God and disobeyed God. I'm the guilty one. It's all my fault. So they said, well, okay, at least we know now whose fault it all is. So they said to Jonah, well, what can we do to you? How can we get this storm to calm down? What can we do to you? And you know, at this moment, Jonah was really brave. Because he said, well, the only thing you can do is throw me overboard. Throw me over the side of the ship into the sea. He said, if you don't do that, the storm will carry on and we'll probably all drown. But if you want to be saved, then you'll have to throw me into the sea. That was quite brave, really, wasn't it? But at least he owned up that it was all his fault. The sailors, they thought, we can't throw him over the sea. That wouldn't be good. And so they thought, what can we do? Try and save ourselves. And they rowed and rowed and rowed trying to reach the shore. But the more they rowed, the more they seemed to drift away from the shore. And the storm was getting worse and the sails were tearing and the masts were nearly breaking off. The water was filling up the boat. And they thought, what can we do? They thought, there's only one thing for it. We'll have to do what Jonah said. We'll have to throw him overboard. They didn't want to do that. And you know, an amazing thing happened then. They suddenly realized that they'd been worshipping all these made-up gods, sun and moon, stone, wood, whatever. And they realized that Jonah's God really is someone to be reckoned with. He must be the true God. And they cried out to the true God, to Jonah's God. They said, oh, Lord, please forgive us. We don't want to throw this man overboard. Don't punish us for doing that. But we don't see we can do anything else. Please forgive us for throwing him overboard. And then he got hold of Jonah, got hold of his arms, got hold of his legs, and they swung him backwards and forwards. One, two, three, and over the side you go. And they threw Jonah overboard into the sea. They did. Well, do you know what happened next? What do you think happened? The storm calmed down. The storm calmed down. And they fell to their knees and they prayed to God, the true God. They said, "Oh God, thank you so much for saving us. Thank you for sorting the storm out. Sorry we had to throw Jonah overboard, but thank you so much. And we're sorry that we've been worshipping all these made-up gods. Now we want to worship you because we know that you're the real God. You're the true God. We want to worship you." So that was wonderful, the way the sailors came to know the true God. But what about poor old Jonah? Well, he went flying through the air. He hit the sea with a great big splash. And, oh dear, he thought, what am I going to do now? He tried to swim. He tried doggy paddle. He tried breaststroke. He tried crawl. He lay on his back and he tried butterfly. Is that butterfly? Backstroke? Backstroke. Tried backstroke. I can't swim. I don't know how to swim. He did this backstroke thing. But, you know, although the storm had calmed down, the waves, because it was out in the middle of the sea, were still quite high, and they kept bashing him on the side and knocking him over, and he couldn't really swim very well. And then the current started dragging him away from the ship, and oh dear. And eventually he struggled and he struggled. Eventually he was getting so tired, I can't swim anymore, I just can't do it. And he started to sink. Down, down, down went Jonah towards the bottom of the sea. Held his nose, held his breath. He tried to go down. And as he went down, he felt seaweed all wrapping round his head. And it was horrible. But he was going down, down, down to the bottom of the sea. And he was almost out of breath and he knew that he was going to drown. And in desperation, he called out to God. He said, "Oh God, I'm so sorry. Please save me. If you save me, I won't run away again. I'll go and do what you want me to do." And do you know what God did? Because God was in control. God sent a great big fish. I don't know if it was a whale, might have been something else, I don't know. But God sent a great big fish, and the fish swallowed Jonah. Now, that's a very strange thing to happen, isn't it? And a very strange experience for Jonah. I bet it was really slimy and smelly inside the whale, the fish. But at least there was air inside, and Jonah he could breathe again, and he coughed and spluttered like I did. At least he was safe. And inside the fish, Jonah prayed to God. He said, "Oh God, I'm so thankful that you have saved me. Thank you for sending that fish to save me." He said, I'll be obedient to you. I'll do what you want me to do." Now, meanwhile, the fish was, he was feeling a bit sick. "What's this inside of me? I don't like this." And he, "I don't feel very well at all." He'd never swallowed a human being before. He thought, "I don't like this." He thought, "I need to get to the shore quickly and get rid of this." So he swam and he swam to the shore. And, he sicked up Jonah onto the beach. Jonah was out on dry land again. Jonah was back at square one. He'd had a terrible adventure, but he was back at square one. Now, what do you think happened next? Any ideas what might have happened next? Yes, Henry? No, we don't know what happened to the people on the boat. Dylan? Well, you're right, because God spoke to Jonah again. The Jonah, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh, that very wicked city. I want you to tell them that because of their wickedness, I'm going to destroy them. Jonah thought about it. He thought, "I don't fancy that adventure again, that stormy ride to Spain. I don't fancy being a whale's breakfast again. I think I'd better go. So maybe a bit reluctantly, he obeyed God and he went off to Nineveh. And it was a big city and he walked through the streets telling people, "You've been so wicked, God is going to destroy you." And do you know what happened? As he thought, the people got scared. And the people realised they'd done wrong. The people said sorry to God for being so wicked. And God forgave them. And he didn't destroy the city after all. Now you'd think that Jonah would be pretty pleased about that. He'd at last obeyed God. He'd done what God said. He'd given the people this message. He hadn't been attacked. He hadn't been beaten up. And the people had said sorry to God. And God had forgiven. You think Jonah would be quite pleased about that. But Jonah wasn't at all pleased. He was still really grumpy. He thought, why has God forgiven these people? They don't deserve to be forgiven. They are such terrible people, so wicked. How can God forgive them? And you know, if you read to the end of the book of Jonah, you'll find that God had to teach Jonah some more lessons. He learnt a lot of lessons in the storm and in the fish, but he had to learn some more lessons. He had to learn that just as God had forgiven him and given him a second chance, so God had forgiven the people of Nineveh when they said sorry to God. We don't know whether Jonah learnt those lessons or not. The story ends there. We don't know whether he carried on being grumpy and upset or whether he learnt those lessons. But God has put that true story in the Bible so that we can learn some lessons. And we're going to just quickly think about three lessons that we can learn from this story. Lessons to learn from Jonah. And the first is this, we've said it a few times, but God is always in control. Whatever situation we go through, God is always in control. You see, God was in control of Jonah's situation. It was God who sent the storm. It was God who made the lot fall on Jonah. It was God who made the fish rescue Jonah. God, all through that story, God was in control. Though Jonah ran away, thought he could get away from God and do his own thing, God said, "No, I'm the one in charge. I'm going to make sure that you do obey me." And God brought about all sorts of things to make sure that happened. And God, whatever situation we're in, God is in control. There's a few pictures there. Look, this little boy is worried. Well, if we're worried, God is in control. God can help us. God can be with us even times when we're worried about things. Maybe we're feeling lonely. I don't know if you can see that picture very well, but I think it's a little girl, she's feeling a bit left out from her friends. Sometimes that can happen, can't it? We get left out of something and we feel a bit lonely. But God is in control. God is with us. God can help us even when we're feeling lonely. Maybe we've got a difficult decision to make. Should we do this or should we do that? Can't decide. Especially when we get older, we have big decisions to make. God is in control. God is there. He will guide us if we ask him for help. Sometimes we hear things on the television news, might get a bit worried about. We think, oh, what's going to happen? But we must remember that God is in control. Nothing can happen in the world unless God allows it. Sometimes he allows bad things to happen, but he is always in control, and one day he will bring about a perfect world and there will be no more bad news. Maybe we're running away from God. Maybe we're trying to do our own thing and trying to ignore God. Maybe we're like Jonah, who went to sleep on that boat trying to forget about God. Maybe we're like that. God is in control. He will keep calling us. He will keep calling us to himself. Maybe there are secret sins in our lives, things that we do that we hide from other people. But God is in control. He sees and he knows what goes on in our hearts, the things that we think about, sinful thoughts, things we do in secret. God knows. He is in control. He won't miss anything. So whatever the situation, God is always in control. That's the first lesson. God is always in control. The second lesson, we should always do what God says. You see, God told Jonah very clearly what he wanted him to do, but did he do it? Not the first time, did he? He ran away and tried to do something different. He ran off in the opposite direction. We should always do what God says. How do we know what God says? Who knows? How can we tell what God says? What's God given us to show us what we should do, how we should live our lives? He's given us something very useful, very helpful, very special. No? What's God given us? The Bible, right. In Jonah's day, they didn't have the whole Bible. They had a few bits of the Bible, not the whole Bible. And God more often spoke to people. What's going on there? Yeah, no, thank you. God more often spoke to people directly, telling them what he wanted them to do. We have the Bible. God has given us to show us what we should do. And here's a little few things. Look, God says we should do the things on the left and we shouldn't do the things on the right. So God says we should love each other, so we shouldn't be unkind and hurtful to one another. God says we should be unselfish, so we shouldn't try to always get the best thing for ourselves. You know, there's a plate of biscuits and there's one jammy dodger. We should leave that for other people. Not try and get the best for ourselves. Shouldn't be selfish. God says we should be obedient, so we shouldn't disobey our parents and our teachers. We should listen to what they say and be obedient. God says we should trust him, so we shouldn't get over anxious about it. We get little worries about things, but we should not think it's so terrible and get really anxious and depressed about it. We should trust God that he's in control. God says we should be honest, so we shouldn't steal things. We shouldn't pilfer things. Perhaps at work we might be tempted to steal pencils or stationery or something. We shouldn't really, because we should be honest. God says we should be humble. So we shouldn't really go around boasting that we're the best. We should be thankful for what God's given us. Maybe God's helped us to be a good sportsman, or helped us be a good artist, or very clever in our minds. But we shouldn't boast about it. We should be humble. So there's various things there that God says we should do, and therefore we shouldn't do those other things. And I just want to say a quick word to some of you older ones, particularly those at secondary school, because, you know, we should always do what God says. Because as you get older, you'll find that the people around you, and what you see on the television, and what you find on your smartphone, and maybe even sometimes what teachers say, isn't what God says. And it can be a bit like a tug of war in our lives, where people tell us, oh, do this, but God says, no, do this. And there on the left you can see all the things that might influence us, our friends, etc. On the right as a boy looking to see, well, what does God say about it in the Bible? Do we give in to sin, or do we obey God? Do we do what people say? Do we do what God says? And I've just listed a few things there that you might come up against. You know, people say, oh, you don't want to go to church. No, it's not. Why don't you do something else more interesting? God says we need to go to church, to learn about him, to learn how to live our lives. We hear a lot of talk about sex, and sex is a beautiful thing that God has given to us, but only to be used in marriage between a man and a woman. That's the way God has ordained that precious and beautiful thing can be used, and we shouldn't do anything other than that. Drink and drugs, we know they can be harmful to our bodies. God says, he doesn't say drink is wrong, but he says use it wisely, use it carefully, use it in moderation. Don't get drunk. You won't find happiness in drink or drugs. True joy is found in knowing the Lord Jesus. What about social media? Well, social media can be good. It's a good way, isn't it, of keeping in touch with our friends. But we have to be careful, don't we? Because sometimes people send us things that aren't really helpful. They might be rude. They might be not very nice. They can be nasty to people through social media. God says we should only concentrate on things that are helpful and loving and good and pure. Those are the sort of things that should be in our lives. Stuff. You know, people say, oh, get lots of stuff, that'll make you happy. The more stuff you can get, the more happiness you'll have. God says, don't put too much emphasis on stuff. Just concentrate on knowing Him. He'll provide what you need, and that's all you need. And gender, that's a big topic these days. People say, oh, it doesn't matter, you can be whatever gender you want. God says, no. Let me just read you what the Bible says about this. In right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, it says, when God created mankind, He made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. As far as God is concerned, He made us male or female, biologically male or female. That's all there is. Oh, we've lost the... Can you just go back, John? Sorry. Have I done that? I don't know how to go back. You need to go back. I've got something to go back here. Oh, no, I've got to go all through again. Sorry, I must have hit a button. There we go. God says, I've made you male and female, and that's the way it is. So, there's a temptation sometimes to give in to what people say and sin in our lives. We should obey what God says. One more lesson. Lesson 3. If we are truly sorry for doing wrong, God will forgive us. You see, God forgave Jonah. Although he'd run away, God gave him a second chance, didn't he? God forgave the sailors, even though they'd worshipped all these made-up gods. When they turned to Him, God forgave them. God forgave the people of Nineveh, even though they'd been so wicked. God forgave them too. And God will forgive us when we tell Him we're sorry for our sin and we want to follow Him. Yes, we may look at those list of things and think, yeah, well, I've been a bit like that. I've done some of those things. But if we tell God that we're sorry, He will forgive us. And why can He forgive us? Because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus took our sin. He took our punishment. He says, if you trust in Me, God will forgive you. So I hope we can learn those lessons. God is always in control. You should always do what God says. And God will forgive us if we trust in Jesus.
Before we just close in prayer, particularly if you older ones, if there's anything on that slide that you're not sure about, maybe you want to know what God says about certain things, please feel you can talk to me or Anne or James when he's back. Some of the older people here, feel free, you can do that. Or if you want to know more about what it means to really trust in Jesus, become a Christian, then talk to one of the older people here and we can help you with that. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You for this story of Jonah. Thank You for the lessons You taught him. Thank You for the lessons that You teach us, that You are always in control, that we need to do what You say, and that when we do wrong things, You are willing to forgive us when we come and say sorry to You. Help us to learn these lessons, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.